Hello, this is the Friar, and we are beginning tomorrow. This is really exciting. I'm really excited about it. The Rosary Marathon that Pope Francis has asked us to participate in, and you can participate in it by going to our website, thefriar.org, where every day we'll have a reflection. We'll have links to pray the appropriate mysteries for the day, and you can pray the Rosary probably the way you learned how to pray it, but you can also pray the Rosary in the Dominican style, and you can pray the Rosary in the Lasallian style if you so choose. And they're audio recordings, so what a great way to pray as you're making your way to work, for example, or what a great way to pray as you're doing something in the yard, maybe mowing the lawn, and you can be praying the Rosary at the same time for the end of the pandemic. These are the intentions the Pope has asked us to remember. The end of the pandemic, and not only the end of the pandemic, but also a return to social and work activities. We all know we want the pandemic to be over, and so this is a great way to do this, because prayer is really what we should be focused on as Catholics, not so much firstly on what we can do, but more importantly on raising our faith in Jesus and raising our faith in God so that we are really in a good place to do that. So here is what I thought we'd do today. So this is Friday, April 30th, 2021. And I thought today we'd talk a little bit about why the Rosary holds such a pride of place for Catholics today, particularly because there's a misunderstanding, if you're not Catholic, about why Catholics ask the saints to pray for them. And so I thought I'd say a little bit today about that and why that really is a good thing for us to have in our life. So why do we ask the saints to pray for us? Well, I think one of the biggest reasons we do so is because we believe fundamentally in the power of the resurrection of Jesus and the hope that brings us for our own resurrection as followers of Jesus, our own glorified body that we receive because Jesus has conquered sin and death. And so this is a statement of faith that we have conquered sin and death. That's one of the first things that I think that we do. So just as we would ask someone living here on earth to pray for a particular need, we ask those holy ones who have gone before us to pray on our behalf as well. So the holy ones that are in heaven, the saints, we ask them to pray for us as well. And so our asking the saints in heaven to pray for us is a statement of faith in the power of the resurrection of Jesus in the lives of every person. But you might ask, well, doesn't the Bible say there is only one mediator? We read in the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5. Doesn't he say there's only one mediator, Jesus Christ? For there is one God, we read, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. That's what 1 Timothy 2:5 says. And you know what? Do we believe that there's one mediator? Yes. We believe that Jesus is the unique mediator. He is the powerful mediator. And so this is what we believe. We agree with St. Paul in the first letter, his first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5. We believe that. But it's important to note that those who say, well, you know, you Catholics, you believe in more than one mediator. Well, we don't. But if we were going to say we believe that Jesus is the unique mediator, but we ask people here living on earth to pray for us, why would we do that if Jesus is the only mediator? Why would we ever ask anybody to remember something in prayer? And yet, almost every Christian I know does that. Secondly, let's read what Paul says in the verses right before that. So in the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, here's what we read. First of all, then, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings, and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Those are the verses. Now, it would be odd to believe that St. Paul is saying in this letter that there's only one mediator, but right before that, in the four verses that precede that, he's asking people, in effect, to pray on for all kinds of things, petitions and supplications and to be thankful and all of those things. It would seem odd that he'd be asking people to pray for kings and those in authority and so forth, if in fact he thought Jesus was the only authority. But he did not view others praying on our behalf as interfering with the notion that Jesus is the one mediator. So when I ask someone to pray for me, I'm asking them in a way to mediate a prayer to the mediator. And that's really what we believe. We believe that when we ask someone to pray for us, whether they're here on earth or they're living in heaven, the mystical body, we call it, we're connected to this whole communion of people, that we believe that they're still bringing these prayers to the unique mediator that is Jesus Christ. And we know that there's mediation of prayer when we read in the book of Revelation, the prayers of the saints are offered to the throne of God. And so there is instance where angels are mediating in a way to bring the prayers of the saints, all the holy people of God is really what they mean there, to Jesus. And so there is this sense of mediation. Another reason why I think the rosary is such a valuable prayer is that it's deeply steeped in Scripture. So the first half of the Hail Mary prayer is what happens when the angel comes to visit Mary. And so in the first chapter of Luke, verses 26 to 48, we hear about the Annunciation. And the first half represents, the first half of the Hail Mary represents what St. Luke says is the special prayer of Mary, what the angel said to her, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And that greeting is very, very powerful. We read it similarly, but not as in much detail in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18. And here's something many Catholics don't know. I think many Christians don't know this. In the Quran, so the Muslim holy book, in the Quran, here's what we read. It's in Surah 3:45. "Behold," the angel said, "O Mary, God giveth thee glad tidings of a word from him. His name will be Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, held in honor in this world and the hereafter, and of the company of those nearest to God." And so Islam does have a high view of the Blessed Virgin as well. And in the early church, Mary held a very powerful place, the Theotokos. The mother of God. She was really, really revered. In fact, I think the church had a clearer idea ultimately of what it meant for Mary and her role than it ultimately did when it finally declared the Trinity. Okay? But it isn't just the Hail Mary that has scriptural reference. It is the Our Father, the prayer that we say. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, we in fact read the Our Father, which is also a part of what we pray in the Rosary. So there's another reflection on the Bible every time we pray that prayer. Almost all of the mysteries of the Rosary are scriptural. So really, when we're praying the Rosary, it is a way of meditating on the Bible as we think of these marvelous events in the life of Jesus and in the life of the church, and how wonderful that is and how tremendous that is. And so those are just a few reasons why we do this. Now, the Pope has asked us also to pray intentions for this as well. And I think that's really also an important part. There's so much that comes when we pray in community with each other. There are tremendous benefits. And so as you join in this Rosary Marathon, you're going to be joining all kinds of people all over the world praying together. And there's such a powerful prayer, I think, in this sense where people pray together. And that's what we're inviting everybody to do, as tomorrow we begin the Rosary Marathon to pray for an end to the pandemic and to pray for a return to social and work activities. We really want this to be over. I'm reading so much about how hard this is in India today, in Turkey. There's an article about how difficult it's been in Central and South America and so forth. So we need this pandemic to come to an end. People are tremendously suffering. Now, each day there will be in with the ability to pray the rosary. So there'll be audio links to the three ways I mentioned, the way you probably learned to pray the rosary when you were little, the Dominican way of praying the rosary, which is very similar but has some differences, and the LaSallian way of praying the rosary, which also is very similar but also has some differences. The most notable for them is that they add a sixth mystery to each decade of the rosary. And so it really, or to each mystery of the rosary has, I'm getting all confused here. They have six mysteries. Let me put it that way. So each rosary has an extra mystery. There we go. It's Friday. I'm getting tired. So that's part of the challenge. Anyway, do join us. By the way, you can subscribe to our podcast on the Friar by going to our website at thefriar.org. There are links to podcast providers. You can subscribe by clicking on one of those. If you do click on one of those, please give us a 5-star rating or not, but give us a tremendous rating. Helps us to become more discovered. And you can also sign up for our newsletter on our website, thefriar.org. So I would encourage you to do that as well. That way you'll be notified every time there is a new post on thefriar.org. I am the Friar. It has been great with you to be with you. As we begin tomorrow, please join us tomorrow as we pray together the rosary. I should also mention that if you want to pray the rosary live as part of this, you can also find links for that on our website, thefriar.org. That will be at 11 a.m. Central or 1700 hours GMT. So take care. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Let's pray for each other, and may God bless you.